All right, we've been going through the Sefer Rav Schechter on Tefillah, but it's edited by Dr. Alan Weissman. So he has a chapter, Harot Benusach HaSiddur. He has certain ideas that relate to, you know, the words in our Tefillot and how to understand different aspects of our Tefillot. So one idea he talks about, Lifnei Hashem, that when a person davens, he has to understand that he's davening Lifnei Hashem, but what does that mean? So he quotes a pasuk in Parshat Bereishit. It says, "Vayitzei Kayin Lifnei Hashem." If you remember, in Bereishit, Kayin kills his brother Hevel, and Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "You know, Kol Demei Achicha Tzoakim Elayim in Ha'adama," and then Kayin says, He says, "V'yemekash gadol l'avanim inesa. My aver is too great to bear. You've chased me out. Umi panecha esater. I'll be hidden from your face, from your." And then he says later on, it says, "V'yetzei Kain milifnei Hashem." That Kain left milifnei Hashem. So what does it mean that Kain leaves the presence of Hashem? How can anybody leave the presence of Hashem? Hashem knows where everybody is. What does it mean he left the presence of Hashem? So the Ramban in his Perushim Chumash says it means that, and the way that this is with the Tov Yerushalayim, it's one of the Perushim on the Ramban, he says that it means that Kayin would feel embarrassed to pray to Hashem. Kayin would feel too embarrassed to pray or to offer a mincha to Hashem because of his Aveira that he had done. So he's not Lifnei Hashem, he's not in communion with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so he's not Lifnei Hashem. In that sense, he's not Lifnei Hashem. Then he segues into this Chidushi Reb Chaim, which Rabbi Basileli just spoke about recently at the Chalashudas, but I'll go through briefly. The Rambam in one place says that if a person, you need kavana for tefillah, if a person davens without kavana, without intention, so he says, "Kol tefillah she'ena b'kavana ina tefillah." That's not a tefillah, the Rambam says. He says in one halakha, if you daven without kavana, you have to go back and repeat the Shmon Esrei. But then, that's in Perek Dalet. But then in Perek Yud, the Rambam says that if you, let me find the halakha, it says in Perek Yud, he says, you should have kavana by all the bracha. If you have kavana during the first bracha, you don't have to go back. So Reb Chaim said they're talking about two different types of kavana. In other words, the kavana that destroys the tefillah, when I daven, I have to always be cognizant that I'm speaking to the Ribono Shel Olam. If I don't have that kavana, in other words, I just, you know, press the button, I'm on automatic pilot, then it's not a tefillah. In other words, I have to realize I'm speaking to the Ribono Shel Olam. And you know, that causes a certain type of kavana. You know, it's like, imagine, let's say you had a meeting with a congressman. So you'd be a little stress you'd feel. Then imagine with a U.S. senator, more stress, you know, you're getting everything ready. Then the president of the United States, you know, you're going to the Oval Office, you know, like your heart be pumping. So Allah has come and come and speak to the Ribono Shel Olam, you need to have kavana. You don't have that kavana, it's not tefillah. The other kavana, which this is the first bracha, means kavana for the meaning of the words. Then Rav Schechter segues, he mentions the Gemara says in Masechet Yoma that after Shmona Esrei you take three steps back. The idea is I'm leaving the Makom Kadosh where I was davening and I'm re-entering a Makom Chol. That's the way the Beis Yosef brings down. In other words, I'm thinking of it. I think of it this way, that I was Makom Kadosh, I was speaking to the Ribono Shel Olam, and now I'm taking three steps back. I'm going to a different zone. It's like, because before I was speaking to the Ribono Shel Olam, now I have to go back to the world. So take three steps back. And similarly, before Shmona Esrei, we take three steps forward. We're exiting the mundane realm of the world in order to enter Lifnei Hashem. Now, the Shulchan Aruch brings down that if you take more than three steps back after Shmona Esrei, that's an act of gaiva, like haughtiness. Like I was so close to the Ribono Shel Olam. Me and the Ribono Shel Olam are like this. So I need to take 10 steps back. He says, but Hashem is not so distant from us that we should require more than three steps to approach Him, nor is someone so close to Hashem during davening that he needs to take more than three steps at the after the tefillah. Okay, now, he mentions Rashi in the beginning of Masechet Brachot. So it's known that Rishonim would daven Mariv Miba Od Yom. They would daven Mariv not like us, they would daven Mariv before Shkia, after Plag Mincha, presumably. So Rashi's bothered, why are we saying Kriyat Shema if it's not, Kriyat Shema is B'shachbacha, when you, like you have to say Sekokavim. So why would I say Kriyat Shema if I'm daven Mariv, you know, after Plag Mincha? So Rashi says, Yim Keim Lama Kurinata B'Beda Knesset, K'di Lamo B'Tfila Mitov Divrei Torah. because we want to daven and we want to come from our davening fresh from Divrei Torah. So it's preparatory for our tefillah that we're fresh from Divrei Torah. That's what Rashi says. So So he says, for the same reason, that's why we say Psukim Tilim like Ashrei before Shemashmon Esrei. And that's brought down by Tosos and Brachot. So explaining the idea that words of Torah serve as a prelude to Tefillah, he quotes from the Rav. He said that the base of Mikdash is not only a place for Korbanot. The base of Tefillah is, you know, Ki Beiti Beit Tefillah Liyikarei Lefalamim. My house, my temple, is a house of Tefillah, a house of prayer for all the nations of the world. And he says, Shlomo Melech says in his Tefillah that, you know, people will pray to you, Derech, you know, Beis HaMikdash, like we pray, we turn to where the Beis HaMikdash stood, and it was one of our tefillah to be channeled that way. So he mentions that the reason that the Beis HaMikdash is considered a Beis Tefillah is because that's the place of Hashrat Shechinah. That's where God's presence is felt most, in the Beis HaMikdash. So he connects us to a member of Chazal. Chazal teach us Miyom Shenechra Beit HaMikdash in lo Kadosh Baruch Hu b'olamo ala arba amot shel halacha. From the time the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu only has the four amot of halacha, like the four cubits of halacha. So it means that the Shechina dwells only in a place where people learn Torah. If you learn Torah, that's where the Shechina is. And there was no Beis HaMikdash standing now. So to get the place that's Makom Makudash, you need it to a place where people learn Torah. So if I recite Shemona Esrei, if I'm occupied with words of Torah, that's a nice hakdama. That's like davening in the Beis HaMikdash. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. But the closest we can come is if we davening, coming right from Divrei Torah, in this case Kriyat Shema, then that forms like the, you know, the foundation for our tefillah. That's Lifnei Hashem. But the Ikar is that everyone, I say this to myself, you have to recognize that I'm not just going through like automatic pilot on the road. I'm speaking to the Ribono Shel Olam when I'm davening. And that's Lifnei Hashem. That's what means Lifnei Hashem. All right, any questions, comes to us. Rabbi Chanan, Rabbi Kashmir, Barak, Zafo, Sophia, Kachar, Barak, Zafo,